This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Mego and Shire here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. It's taking you up until noontime today. Mego, that was a nice little trailer from Forged in Foxborough Episode 3. You got a lot of Stephon Diggs there, a little Mac Hollins. Talking about the receiver room, the competitiveness, what is your reaction to that clip, and how are we feeling about the receivers right now?
Dude, I think I might be higher on the receivers than anybody else covering the Patriots. Like, I'm not so high on them that I'm going like, oh, God, this is going to be like a top half of the league group. But I think there's been so much slowing down and expectations dropping for the team overall and for Steph Diggs. Like, Steph Diggs, when I see him in that video, and you can check it out, the Patriots put it out on Twitter and social media if you want to see their little trailer. I haven't watched any of that Fortune in Foxborough, by the way. But the trailer for this one looks good because it's about the receivers. I'm a believer in Steph Diggs still. Like, maybe I'm just a sucker. Maybe it's partly because he's from my hometown. Like, I think we have seen so little of him in preseason games, like in-game action. And his stats, quote, stats for training camp and preseason practices have been fine, but he hasn't totally jumped off the page in that way that we're like still looking at each other going, who's the alpha of this group? Who's this? Who's that? Like, my expectations for Steph Diggs are right where they were when they signed him, which are like 800 yards. Like, I think that's who he's going to be. And I haven't wavered on that. And I think that's good production from a 31-year-old coming off an ACL tear. And I'm feeling better about this wide receiver group than I have in years.
Really? Yeah, I definitely feel better about them than I have in a while. I'm still not like thrilled with it, but at the same time, to me, that was never the biggest concern. I feel like more often than not, a team with a good offensive line can easily make do with subpar to average receivers, whereas the opposite is not generally the case, right? Unless you're Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, it's very difficult for there to be a great quarterback with a great receiver and to have insane success without like decent offensive line play. Like, to me, the receivers were never a massive concern, but you're right. Like, I do feel better about them than I have in recent years, definitely last year and even the year before that. I think this is a better group than what you've had. It's clearly been competitive. I mean, you had eight guys on the roster after cutdown day. Now that's gone down to six. Javon Baker, though, signed with the Eagles practice squad, so clearly, like, at least another team is interested in having him aboard somehow. I wouldn't be shocked if Kendrick Bourne sneaks on a roster, maybe the San Francisco 49ers, who are looking for receiver help. So it feels like it was a competitive group. I like Stephon Diggs. He was on pace for 1,000 yards and a bunch of touchdowns last year before he tore the ACL. I think Pop Douglas could have a really good year. I even think Efton Chisholm can get some work this year in the slot. Woo! I think there's a chance for your guy to shine a little bit this year. Even if he barely made the roster, I think there's going to be an opportunity for him. So I like this group. I wouldn't say I love them, but I like them.
It's going to be a battle for Efton to get game time. But I think that's okay.
One injury, like one injury, and he immediately slides in, right? If Diggs or Pop ever go down, I feel like Chisholm is such an easy fit into what the Patriots want to do, because Matt Collins, to me, it helps kind of make this thing go. I don't think he's like a phenomenal receiver, but he's just that big, tall body that plays on the outside that allows McDaniels to put Diggs, Pop, and or Efton kind of in the slot and move those guys around kind of at free random and allow himself to give the opponent a lot of different looks. And so if one of those guys were to go down with an injury for any amount of time, I think Efton Chisholm slides right into that Diggs, Pop role pretty quickly.
I like Matt Collins. I do think he might have the biggest case of height privilege that I've seen in a while.
Probably.
Like, he truly...
There's no tall guys on this team.
Yeah, he has expectations in this room for his height. Like, that's a lot of what he has going for him, because it is a really small group. Like, I didn't fully realize until we were in mini camp how small Kyle Williams is.
Yeah, he's not a big guy. He separates tremendously, but he is not a big dude.
So you look at overall, Kayshon is like a fine size, but he's also not massive and he's not tall. Like,
no,
Matt Collins,
5'11". He's not even 6 feet tall.
Length. I think with Stephon Diggs, the biggest question to me is what his fit within the offense is going to be. And I did have some concern like 2 weeks ago after talking to Todd Downing and hearing that Stephon Diggs' biggest kind of goal or focus right now has to be on getting the playbook down, essentially, and understanding the expectations of the coach and the quarterback. So I was like, ooh, that seems to suggest that he's not there yet, which is not what you want to hear about the guy who's a 10-year veteran and supposed to be leading the group. But at the same time, my bigger question overall for Steph is, like, where is he going to fit in this scheme? Like, where is he? What kind of receiver? Is he going to be a red zone threat, or is he going to be somebody who helps you move the chains down the field, or some part of both? Because I do think among your pass catchers, like, DeMario Douglas to me feels like the only guy who's going to help you kind of move chains down the field, and everybody else becomes a more of like a red zone guy. Like, Hunter Henry at his best is a red zone guy.
Agreed.
And I think Matt Collins, if you listen to the team talk about how he's going to be used in a similar way to Buffalo last year, like, red zone guy.
Yep.
I don't know with Kayshon. I mean, he's somebody who can actually play outside the numbers, so he gives you a little bit of a different look. But I'm just wondering where Diggs is going to fit into all of that, especially coming off his injury.
So Warren Sharp, I want to say it was about a week ago now, tweeted out that the teams that used the most three receiver sets in the preseason, the Patriots were towards the bottom. I want to say they were fourth to last. They only did it like 23% of the time. So I feel like, at least from what we've seen so far, and that's a very limited amount of the offense, and granted, a lot of it not even the starting offense, but what we've seen from Josh McDaniels so far is a lot of two tight end sets, or you have the one tight end and a fullback out there, which leaves you with two receivers. And so for me, like, it's a lot of the time it's going to be Matt Collins and Stephon Diggs. And then when they want to give you a bit of a kind of an exotic look, it may be like Stephon Diggs, Pop Douglas on a kind of like short yardage, got to have it down. I don't expect them to play a ton of three receivers, which is kind of why I almost even expect to see more Steph and Pop on the field than I do Steph and Matt Collins a lot of the time. I just think that he is going to be kind of moved around quite a bit, right? When Matt Collins is on the field, you're allowed to kind of keep Steph in the slot, which I think is where he would probably be most successful at this point in his career. And then when you have him out with Pop, I think because they're both on the smaller side but athletic guys, I think you can kind of shuffle them around and give teams weird looks with motions and stuff like that if Josh kind of wants to go in that direction. So I'm really kind of curious. It'll really depend on how the offense wants to operate. If they want to operate in that, you know, two wide receiver set, it's going to be weird. I think you're going to see Steph Diggs in different places, split wide, in the slot, moving in motion a lot. Like, it's going to be, he's going to be all over the place. But if you get more of those three receiver sets, he's just naturally going to have to play on the outside more, because I think Pop is better suited as a slot guy than outside.
Yeah, I would say, judging from what they ran and how they lined up through training camp, that that's probably a pretty good read on how they're going to use them. This brings me to one more point, which we touched on, I don't know, like an hour ago when we were talking about Micah Parsons and you were losing your mind.
Yeah.
I think that they should push for Jacoby Myers. I am a big Jacoby Myers person, and I think that he would be a definite upgrade on, I don't know, most of your wide receiver room, and I don't think that he would cost that much to go get. Now, the question again, as we were talking about with Terry McLaurin and so many others through Trey Hendrickson, like through the Henderson through this entire process, is he actually going to be available? Like, is this just a negotiating tactic?
Yeah, to me, it's a negotiating tactic just because, it feels that way for every single receiver. Like, this is the way they get new contracts, is by saying they want to be traded, and then negotiations actually start. That's how it feels. But at the same time, maybe he is available. And if he is, maybe they just want to go with, you know, the funnel the offense to Brock Bowers approach. You look at the Raiders depth chart, and their other receivers are guys like Deontay Thornton Jr., rookie out of Tennessee, Jack Besh, rookie out of TCU, I believe, and then the corpse of Amari Cooper. I don't think that's a very good receiver core. You probably want to keep Jacoby Myers there, so this is probably a ploy for money. But if he is available, the Patriots should absolutely be involved. You're right. It wouldn't cost too much to get him. He had 1,000 yards last year in an offense that was quarterbacked by Aiden O'Connell. So I think he would be better here, and it would actually help a lot because Jacoby Myers is a guy that's going to play split out wide. Like, it's going to help allow for Stephon Diggs to be more versatile. And so I think he would fit well here, but at the same time, I just don't believe that he's actually available.
Yeah, I think it's a negotiating tactic, especially the way that it was timed right after Terry finally got his deal
100%.
Done. I was like, okay, Jacoby's taking a page out of that playbook. Who do you think is going to be the lead receiver on this team? Like,
Pop
I'm not
Douglas.
Even talking to me about Alpha. Yeah, so you, what are your expectations for him numbers-wise?
I think he needs to be pushing 1,000 yards. I think ideally he's over 1,000. If this offense is good, he should be over 1,000 yards. I don't even really think that that should be a question. He is going to get, in my opinion, probably the most targets on the team. So you need to be able to convert those.
I mean, I think just the nature of the scheme and getting the ball out quick and already having some built-in experience and chemistry with Drake, I think that's the right read. Mm-hmm. There is a side of me that goes, if Pop Douglas is your number one receiver,
not great.
What does that say? But I don't think that's like totally fair because, again, I think that this is like a lot of Josh McDaniels teams of the past where you don't have somebody who's like a Justin Jefferson, like transcendent talent. But you have guys who can play their roles. And if you have that, it will work. But at the same time, when it's no offense to Pop Douglas, I love Pop and he should be great. But like if he is your number one offensive weapon, for lack of a better term, unless you're looking at Travion, I think that that puts you in like maybe an average mediocre offensive position.
Yeah, I think that to me, the only way that Pop doesn't have like 1,000 yards, because like I'm not convinced Stephon Diggs is going to be able to get through 17 games. I think at some point he's going to miss a game or two.
Me?
Yeah, I think there's just coming off a knee injury. He's in his 30s. He's a receiver. Like I feel like he will probably miss a game or two. That's one of the reasons why I don't think he would be your leading receiver. And then the only way to me Pop doesn't really push 1,000 yards is if Travion Henderson is just so unbelievably good that the offense almost kind of runs through him. And that, again, that is a like one very far end of the spectrum. I think it's in play. I don't think it's necessarily likely, but there is a chance that Travion Henderson is just, you know, the next LaDainian Tomlinson and we're just cooking with gas here. So look, I think that would be the only way that it's acceptable that Pop Douglas isn't pushing or right around 1,000 yards on the season.
I'm going to say something that's going to upset you right now
because
of what you just said.
Yeah, I figured you're going to temper my expectations. That's fine. Go ahead.
No. It's not about Pop. I predict that Stephon Diggs starts more games this season than Drake May.
Ooh, okay. I disagree. I would take that. I would take that bet all day. But, I mean, that's, you know, I get it. I understand. I've been screaming from the hilltops that I think this whole Drake May injury thing is way overblown and people are kind of going out of control about it. But, you know, that's just me. I'm one man standing
but
here.
But it's not about Drake. Like, it's not about Drake's play style. It's about the offensive line crushing him.
But, like, that, and so that's,
okay. Crushing in front of him, collapsing when he drops back and getting him crushed.
But he didn't even, like, that's, but he was getting hammered last year in the backfield, and he still did. The two times he ever even got his bell rung were not from moments in the pocket, which is why I'm like, I don't understand why people think. So is he going to get hurt because of his running style? Because that, I just disagree. I don't think he's going to be running quite as much or
as
frequently.
Yeah, I don't think Josh is going to let him.
And I think Vrabel's going to yell at him if he's not smart about getting down. And then two, like, he didn't even get hurt in the pocket last year. I don't expect him to get hurt in the pocket this year. Like, it's just, I think he's mobile enough.
You know what that means? Do factor. He's due to get hurt.
I look.
That's horrible. I'm not joking about Drake May getting injured. I'm just making fun of you, Sean.
No, I know you are. And look, I just think the whole Drake May injury prone thing is way overblown. I got a fight with Ninkovich about it earlier this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was trying to say that Drake May missed or didn't finish two games due to concussions, which wasn't true. It was only one. He didn't finish the Buffalo game because they pulled him out after the first series.
Right.
And then he got taken out for a series in the Chargers game and then immediately went back in after
right,
they went after the offense went three and out. And I still maintain that if this organization was run more properly and it wasn't like Elliott Wolf's only way to stay in business was Drake May, they probably would have let him finish that Jets game as well.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if I agree with you on the Jets point,
yeah,
but I do think that most of Drake opening himself up to those potential injuries was because he was the only thing that the entire offense
had
going.
It was such a mess.
And so his takeoff and run, his basically fight or flight was the only option that they had. And I don't think, as we talk about the wide receivers and we talk about Travion Henderson, I don't think that that's going to be the case this year. So I'm partly just saying that about Steph Diggs versus Drake May availability to get you all hot and bothered. Because
yeah, you know how to rhyme.
I know it's something that you have been feeling very defensive about.
Very much so. 617-779-7937. See a couple calls lined up. We'll get to those next here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. But right now, Tom is going to get you caught up with what is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Is trending. Mega and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We got you for about another half hour or so. College football right around the corner. Texas, Ohio State kicks off at noon today. Really gets the college football season off with a bang, which will be fun. Number one ranked Texas, number three ranked Ohio State. Mega, we've been talking a lot about the Patriots today. We talked a little bit about the Red Sox. Let's take a couple calls here. Frank in New Hampshire wants to talk about the Sox. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Mago. Great show.
Thank you.
I had a question about last night's game. I don't know if what Cora thinks sometimes. I mean, in the fifth inning when Tolley was dealing, and, you know, he ran into a little bit of trouble, and he got one out, and then they let him pitch to two more batters. And I was thinking, oh, you know, they really should have somebody up in the bullpen. Instead, they brought up Weissert, who to me looks like Walker Buehler feels. In that he thinks he might be done with baseball because he can't pitch. But I just don't know what goes through his head. It was a 2-0 game, and you put a person who's not a high-leverage reliever in the game, and next thing you know, it's 4-2. You know, I sat there and said, while they were up 2-0, I said, he's going to blow the lead. He's going to blow the lead. And three pitches later, he did. I also don't know what he thinks, Cora thinks in terms of the lineup. Look at the people that they had in last night. You had Wong behind the plate, who hits like, what, 115, something like that. He had Romy Gonzalez at first base, and then he had Sogard at second, and then Yoshida as the DH. I felt bad for Tolley. It felt like he kind of set him up for failure.
Frank, thanks for the call. I didn't love the lineup last night. I don't think that's the best way to trot it out when you have your young rookie pitcher making his first career start. I would have let Tolley kind of keep going there in the fifth, given him a chance to find his way out of it. But that's just me. I just want to see. I would want to see kind of exactly what the kid has, what kind of stuff he's got, what kind of nards he's got in a high leverage situation like that. But again, that's a personal thing. I don't think Cora necessarily has a say when it comes to the pitching stuff. They just kind of put it into the computer and print it out.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, a lot of the time. Like, especially with a lot of that Garrett Crochet stuff earlier in the year, I don't think that's Alex Cora. I think that is a Craig Breslow design.
With the Crochet stuff, I think that's much more about management because of his lack of history in being a starter and needing him for the fall. But with the Tolley stuff in particular, I did feel like in the moment I wasn't that aggravated that they pulled him when they did, because I'm like, this is the kid's first start.
Sure.
You know, like, this is his debut. He's done his job so far. Like, getting, what did he go, 5 1/3?
Yep.
Like, that's pretty good for his first
out. Right.
You know, I don't blame him. Now, if you want to blame Cora on going to Weissert, I guess, but it kind of does feel like when you're talking about playing the Pirates, if I look at it overall, I'm not trying to be cynical, but I feel like some of it was experimentation from Cora of, okay, let's see what Wong is going to give me. Let's see what Weissert is going to go here. It's the Pirates. It's, to your point, not the Jays. You know, you're using this in a moment to maybe I'm being too naive, and a lot of it does just come down to what the computer and the analytics and all of that department tells you. But I think that to defend Cora, like, if there's a time that you're going to do it, it's going to be now. Maybe it's unfair to the kid, but guess what? The kid was part of the experimentation too, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I understand with Massa. I feel bad for Massa. Like, the same way, I guess, that I used to feel bad for Walker Buehler, and maybe that tells you something about his fit with this club, because he doesn't, in my opinion, and maybe last night's not the time to pick on it, but he doesn't give you enough at the plate. He can only be a DH. He can't play in the field. It's just a hangover from the Heim Bloom era that doesn't seem to have a real fit here or any future to it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right in that. I don't know if it was necessarily experimentation, but maybe it's just I don't want to expend my big bullets in a game against the Pirates, and this is an opportunity to give some guys some rest and kind of not overwork people in a game that doesn't necessarily matter as much as a game like you mentioned, like the Toronto Blue Jays coming up, or even one of those Yankees games that are in the near future. So you're probably right in that regard, where it's like, oh yeah, like we don't need to force the issue tonight. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates. If we happen to drop one, it's fine. We'll win the next two and take the series and move on. And so in that regard, you're probably right. Yeah, like the Masataka thing, that's fine. Like he was 1-for-3 in the game. He scored a run. Like I get it. Like he's just a lefty bat. Like it's a contact bat, which it is what it is. It's more so the Sogard Wong thing for me. Like I'm like, all right, what are we doing here? Like let's get actual players out here and try and win the game. Like I think you should just be trying to win as many games as possible to really close the gap on the Blue Jays. But you know, I understand not necessarily thinking that it's the most important moment.
Yeah, I know with the Romy thing, I think he's been kind of hot recently.
Yeah, he had like three hits last night.
Okay, so I don't have as much of an issue with that.
Yeah, I think he was perfectly fine. John in Miami has an issue. Mego, I don't know if you're aware of this. On Thursday night, we had the Jones and Key fantasy football draft. Where do you stand on fantasy? Courtney is very, very against it. She hates fantasy football players.
Why am I not invited is the question.
Wow, that is a question we need to direct at Rich Keefe. That is, that's not me. I'm not the
personal.
Commissioner. Wow, I'm sorry.
Why was I not invited? Was Courtney invited? Or is this like a boys-only thing?
Yeah, girls stink. Boys rule. No, I have
boys
no idea.
Boys-only, like everybody just gets together and drinks beers and farts and they're gross.
It's true. That's so basically what the draft was on Thursday night. Yeah, like a lot
Did you guys do it in person?
No, we did it via Zoom, like in a giant Zoom call, and we were online and Keith streamed it and stuff like that.
Sounds boring then. I don't want to be part of a Zoom draft.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Excellent.
My feelings on fantasy are that I think it's super fun. I understand why people are into it. I think nobody wants to hear about anybody else's fantasy anything.
Like, interesting. Okay.
The most boring content in the world to me is people talking about their own fantasy teams, their own fantasy drafts, like how they're picking their drafting order. I don't care. I don't think anyone cares about your made up team, but it's a fun way to engage with the league.
Yeah. So John in Miami has an issue with the way in which the draft order was established.
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
Chime.
So,
we're not so different, you and I.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So we also used this cameo.com thing to do our draft order, which I was very against to start. Our commissioner paid $50 to a former on-air female personality from ESPN, okay? And she only read 9 team names out of 12. Mm-hmm. And the best part was they sent a little blurb about our league right before she was supposed to be doing this, and she read it and read my team name as a former 2-time winner, brag, and then forgot to even say my team name on the draft order. 9 out of 12. I am losing my mind, wondering if you were losing yours for not being chosen in your draft also.
So thank you for the call, John. Mego, I'll set this up for you. What happened was Rich Keefe, on the Jones and Keefe program, they do the random baseball player every day in the grab bag. And so what Keefe did is he reached out to random baseball player Jeff Cirillo to come up with the draft order, and he sent all the names. And so Jeff Cirillo was reading off the names, and he got to name number 10, and he said, crap, I might have screwed this up, and then ended the video. And sent it in and did not give pick 11 and 12. I was one of pick 11 or 12. Myself, along with Davey Eyeballs, Ryan Davey, did not get to be told where in the draft we would be selecting. Keith is adamant that it is a scrolling issue on the part of the person doing the cameo in that, like, they never actually just scrolled down to see the rest of the names. And so that's why he said, oh, crap, I think I messed this up, because he only saw 10 names and there were supposed to be 12 people when, in fact, all he needed to do was scroll down. I'm fine with it. It is what it is. I don't really care. I had the 11th pick. That was fine. Honestly, would have preferred the 12th pick over the 11th pick, but it is what it is. I got Derrick Henry out of it. I don't really care.
So I gotta say, I don't care about any of this.
Nice.
Especially because I wasn't invited, which is rude. Fair. Like, why? Come on, guys. Come on. Can you include us girls a little bit?
Hey, it wasn't me. I just got the invite and said, sure.
Whatever.
I'm not the commish.
Have you seen Weapons yet, by the way, as you're talking about the Dork podcast members?
I have not yet. No. How good was it?
Oh, my God. It was so good.
Really?
Have I talked to you about this before?
No, you haven't. You have not mentioned this to me once.
Okay. So the director behind the movie Weapons,
yep,
which is a force right now in the theater, and I
sure
very much recommend that you see it in theater. It is an in-theater experience that
okay
you have to have. I don't know how well it's going to translate at home compared to in theater.
Interesting.
But he directed a movie and wrote a movie, Barbarian, which was like my favorite movie of
yes
the last 5 years.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I love Barbarian so much. And I would say
Skarsgård was in that, right?
Yeah. Oh, Bill.
Yeah.
Bill Skarsgård, which is my favorite Skarsgård.
And Justin Long.
Yeah, I like Justin Long a lot. He makes an appearance in Weapons as well.
Ooh, interesting.
That's not giving anything away. But Weapons, I would say, I think I can recognize is like a better film than Barbarian.
Okay.
But I like Barbarian more, if that makes sense.
Like, okay,
I have more affection for Barbarian. Weapons, it's just like, if you want to go to the theater and have a movie where you have no idea where it's going and it's going to surprise you and maybe make you mad, but also maybe you'll enjoy it, like that, it's going to pull emotions out of you.
Interesting.
If you want to emote, go see Weapons. And also, there was, I am not somebody who gets suckered into jump scares, and because I watch a lot of scary movies, and I don't like go to scary movies for the jump scares usually. There was a jump scare that got me in Weapons so good that I actually, I'm not kidding, Shime, I pulled my shoulder. Like, I pulled
what
a muscle in my shoulder because I jumped so, so forcefully out of my seat. I don't
Were
think
you, like, alone in the theater? And you're
yes
like, oh, my God.
Well, it was a packed theater. My husband does not like scary movies. He thinks they're stupid. And I love scary movies. So I was
I'm in
like
a very similar position.
Yeah, so I was like, I saw Barbarian in a theater by myself. He was on the road. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to do the same thing with Weapons because I want it. It was already out for a week. I had multiple friends texting me being like, have you seen it yet? I need to talk to you about it. I hadn't seen it. So I finally just on a Wednesday night, got a seat, went and saw it at AMC South Bay. Packed out theater, totally packed. And yeah, it was one of these things where like the fun thing where there were definitely a lot of people in the same position around me who went by themselves, like not in a creepy way, just were like, oh, I got to see this movie in theaters. And yeah, I think I like hit the guy sitting next to me because I jumped out of my seat. So this scare got me so bad. And then you're like, you try to stay on guard for the rest of the movie, but it doesn't matter because it's so well written and directed that it's going to get you again.
Heck yeah.
And okay, there's one, I will say one more. There's like one or two scenes where it's not jump scare, but the feeling of dread. Like there's one scene where something happens that people, and you will know it if you've seen it. It involves the backseat of a car and the way that it's shot. People in my theater were audibly going, no.
I love that. One of my favorite movie experiences ever was, I think I was in high school, Paranormal Activity came out, and there's the scene, it's an old enough movie now where I don't care. There's the scene where the woman is being like possessed by the ghost and stands up over her husband and is just
yes
standing over him. There was a gentleman in a jam-packed movie theater who stood up and was screaming at the woman in the movie to get back in bed. He's like, don't you dare do this. A lot of expletives were thrown, so I can't quite quote exactly what he said, but it was tremendous. It was one of my favorite movie experiences of my life.
Yeah, and there's a difference between people at the movies who are just like, yep, 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 talking to the person next to them or taking their phone out or whatever, versus being in a theater where people are reacting, like emoting back to the screen because everyone's so into it. The second one, I love. The first one, no. We need to lock down a little bit on these dum-dums who have their phones out with their screens on in these theaters.
617-779-7937. One more segment to go, Mego. I think I'll go check out weapons after our show on Monday, because Mego and I will be back on the air again on Monday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., filling in for the Greg Hill Show on a Labor Day Monday. So plenty of Mego and Chime coming up in just a couple days. We got one more segment to go here on Boston Sports Original WE.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Yeah. Mega and Sean here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. I had the temptation to just let that play for like 2 minutes, but I won't. I'll jump in. It's fine. We got one last Patriot note to touch on before we get out of here, Mego, because the one thing we haven't hit on yet today is the question marks now surrounding Christian Gonzalez and his availability for week one. He has been dealing with a hamstring injury now for the majority of preseason. It is unsure if he is now even going to be able to play in week one. Are you growing concerned about the Christian Gonzalez hamstring injury?
I wouldn't say I'm like fully concerned yet. I'm not like sitting here saying that he's not going to play in week one. Like, that's okay. Not my expectation yet. But I did think that Jeff Howe from The Athletic had an interesting tidbit earlier this week when he reported that it's been a tricky, I think was the word that he used,
correct,
tricky injury for them to figure out how to handle, because with these soft tissue injuries and a hamstring, like the risk of re-aggravating it is just, it becomes such like a risk reward cost benefit kind of balance. And I think that's what they're doing here. I think that's what they're discussing behind the scenes is, hey, do we ramp Gonzo up now so that he's ready for week one, or do we really give this so much time that we feel like we've eliminated any risk of a re-aggravation where he misses like 4 weeks in the actual season?
Yeah.
And I think that's the balance. And so for me, it's not even so much like, okay, is he going to be ready for week one? But rather, is this going to be the kind of injury that just lingers throughout the season and hampers his play?
Yeah, I really hope not. Like, hamstring injuries are such a pain sometimes because they can feel like it's like, oh, yeah, it feels great. It's fine. But then when you go and actually play at game speed, it immediately becomes an issue, or you re-aggravate it and you become hurt again. Honestly, I'm fine if he just doesn't play for the first 3 weeks of the season. Just like sit it out. Come back against the Panthers so you get some reps against Tet McMillan. Feel pretty good about yourself and be really 100% ready to go October 5th against the Bills.
I think the upside to him being out for over a month now through training camp and preseason is that we've gotten to see so much of Alex Austin, who probably won't light your hair on fire compared to Christian Gonzalez,
sure.
But he's been solid. Like, he has been steady in that depth role. So if you had to go out there and start Carlton Davis on one side and Alex Austin on the other, and maybe you rotate Marcus Jones in as, you know, in that slot position, and you're able to get through a couple of weeks that way, I don't think it's going to make the difference between you winning and losing those first couple games, or, you know, like your first month in September. I don't think.
Especially when you look at the matchups. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
The Dolphins would be a tough one, but that's tough even with Christian Gonzalez on the field just because of the speed that they have. But the Raiders, I mean, it's Brock Bowers. That's their receiving core right now, is it's Brock Bowers, especially if Jacoby Myers decides to hold out at all. Like, it's only Brock Bowers. I'm not too worried about that. And then the Steelers, it's literally just DK Metcalf. And if you really think Aaron Rodgers is actually any good or not. So, like, to me, it's, I would just, if there's any risk of re-aggravating it in week one, I wouldn't risk it. I would just sit out the month of September. I would rather him play from September 28th until the end of the season without an issue than him come in, play for 2 or 3 weeks, have to sit out another 6 weeks, and then come back.
It does make your secondary, to the point of where we started the show out, like,
sure,
your secondary does look very different than we expected if he's out for the first couple of weeks, and now Jabril Peppers is gone, and Kyle Duggar is kind of a big question mark of how his health and ability is and how he fits into the scheme. Like, suddenly the secondary, which we all sat here in May and went, well, that's going to be an area where the Patriots are probably pretty well above average, to us going, oh, okay, you're going to patch this together for the first month or so and figure it out. But I thought that Phil Perry on Early Edition last night on NBC Sports Boston put it in a really solid way, which is, he's one of these cornerbacks that's kind of like a sports car where when things are good, like, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And just a well-oiled machine and great. But when something like a hamstring, like, okay, when you have to replace a part, all of a sudden it's going to be in the shop for a couple weeks longer than you'd expect if you just had, you know, a good old Honda or Ford or something.
Yeah, it also just, it just makes me question even more the cutting of Jabril Peppers at a time where, like, Craig Woodson can slide down and play some corner, which is, so if they felt like Christian Gonzalez was going to be out a couple weeks, maybe you hold on to Jabril Peppers for a few more weeks before, until Christian Gonzalez comes back, and then cut him. I don't know. It just, it raises a lot of questions for me, and I'm kind of a little unsure on what the secondary is actually going to look like in the first couple weeks of the season. But Mego, that's going to do it for us today. Excellent show by you. Very well
Thanks,
done.
Thanks, you too.
3 hours flew by.
We'll be on Sundays going forward.
Yes, we will. No more Saturday Mego and Shimes going forward. We're actually going to be on Sunday on WEEI Football Sundays alongside Christian Arcand, Ted Johnson, a whole crew of us. Tommy Curran will be joining us. We'll get keys from Wiggy. It'll be a blast. We'll have fun every Sunday leading you into NFL action. Mego, great job today. I will talk to you again on Monday. We are back Monday filling in for the Greg Hill Show, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. And keep it locked, because Rob Bradford will give you all the baseball content you could possibly want, with some Baseball Isn't Boring next here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.